Irvine, Washington, Wednesday, February 4th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, capping the pay for corporate executives. We'll talk with Jack Gage, associate editor at Forbes magazine, about the new Obama administration order that any firm taking government bailout money on Wall Street needs to cap executive salaries at $500,000. Will this lead to more responsible use of taxpayer funds or the departure of talented leaders these companies need most at this critical time? We'll also get Jack's thoughts about the latest twists and turns in the debate over an economic stimulus package. Also in this edition, pork, pork everywhere. Dr. Tom Borelli of the National Center for Public Policy Research is with us to talk about what he sees as the rampant waste of taxpayer dollars in a bill that probably won't stimulate much of anything in this economy. Plus, Obama's dangerous outreach. Frank Gaffney, president of the Center for Security Policy, is with us to explain why he believes much of Obama's rhetoric to the Muslim world has had a submissive tone, which is very dangerous for our national security. He also talks about evidence he's uncovered about a possible Obama effort to strike a deal with Al-Qaeda. And powering the future of the auto industry, we'll talk with Nancy Joy of the Ford Motor Company about that firm's electrification plans. All that, plus Wednesday's headlines, follow our discussion with Jack Gage of Forbes magazine, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Jack Gage, associate editor at Forbes magazine. We want to get his thoughts on how Wall Street is reacting to President Obama on Wednesday, suggesting that any corporations taking bailout money need to cap their executive salaries at $500,000 and also make sure there aren't any stock perks until all the money is paid back to the taxpayers. And we want to pick Jack's brain a little bit on what he thinks of the latest developments in the debate over an economic stimulus package. And Jack, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This announcement today from the President and the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, was expected for at least a few days, if not a little bit longer than that. But what's the reaction up on Wall Street and some of these firms that have taken the TARP money?
Well, I think the loudest reaction came from Goldman Sachs, who said they're now in a hurry to repay their TARP debt. Obviously, don't like the idea of strains on what they can pay their top executives. But more seriously, I think the likely reaction is one where you'll see a talent drain from Wall Street. I think that the Obama administration has opened a can of worms here that exposes the downside to selecting an arbitrary number at which to cap executive pay. I think a lot of it you've seen flesh out on Wall Street already. Bonuses were down by half. 50% in 2008 from 07 levels. That's consistent and even to a more severe degree than the broader market declines in stock values. I think that you're starting to see the market correct itself, and rather than allowing it to do so, the administration has now come in and put a hard and fast cap on companies' ability to retain their most talented and productive employees.
And how big of a talent drain could we be looking at? Is it too early to tell, or are there a lot of firms out there that are worried that their top people, who are basically hired to get them out of the mess we're in right now, are going to jet to a place that can offer them a whole lot more?
Yeah, no pun intended with the jet, but I think your point is a very important one, that, you know, at a time when leadership is most crucial, companies accepting TARP funds in arguably the worst condition are going to be less prepared to retain the appropriate leadership for the time. So it is a danger. I think it is too early to ascertain to what degree this will be a problem down the road, but it's definitely a possibility. It's something that really comes with the idea of capping pay, and it's something that I think we'll have to keep a close watch on going forward.
We're talking with Jack Gage of Forbes magazine. And Jack, I know we're not getting dollar-by-dollar itemizations of how the companies that have gotten federal assistance are using that money, but from the best you can tell, are we seeing the administration react to a couple of worst-case scenarios here, or is there a pattern that needed some attention?
Well, I think some of it was set up by the campaign rhetoric used over the last 18 to 24 months by Obama in particular. I think that, you know, setting up this dichotomy of two classes, if you will, of people, the Wall Street executive types and then ordinary Americans, as he calls them, I think pressures him to a great deal to save face and to salvage some somewhat of a mandate coming into these first couple of difficult months. And the pressure to do that has been real and is mounting every day as cabinet appointees resign for various reasons. So I think that it was an opportunity to make a hard and fast decision and make an impact immediately. Now, That being said, it's still somewhat of a halfway measure. There are certainly loopholes in this, not unlike the days of Bill Clinton when he limited executive pay at $1 million and drove compensation into incentive-based stock options and other types of risky shareholder-exposing methods of compensating top executives. So there are downfalls to this, aside from a talent drain on Wall Street, that I think the Obama administration is going to have to be cognizant of going down the road.
How many firms, as far as we can tell, are between a rock and a hard place now? They're not necessarily in a position to pay back the TARP money that they received, probably with interest. And at the same time, they don't want to lose their top personnel.
Absolutely. I think you're looking at several of the former large investment banks on Wall Street. Certainly Bank of America and Citigroup are in difficult positions. J.P. Morgan as well, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, less so now that they're in a hurry to pay back their TARP debt. But this will be a problem facing down all of the former top investment banks in the U.S., in particular as it sets them up versus their adversaries across the pond. European investment banks receiving bailout funds from their government entities are not having to comply with the same strict standards for employee compensation, and as a result, it's an opportunity to pick off some of the top talent in the U.S. That's something to keep an eye for.
Jack, do most on Wall Street believe this is just an effort related to the TARP fund, or do they sense an overly aggressive and intrusive government activity here?
Yeah, I think there's no question that the hand of government is reaching deeper into Wall Street and indeed corporate America in the first 20-odd days of the Obama administration. I think this is, as you point out, an indication of that. But that being said, I think that Obama will be hamstrung to a certain degree by the overreaching of Congress on other Democrat priorities. I think that's going to be something that taxpayers in particular are interested in going forward as their funds are at risk.
We're talking with Jack Gage, associate editor at Forbes. And Jack, of course, the other great soap opera here in Washington, really for weeks now, has been the debate over what ought to be in and what ought to be left out of the economic stimulus package. Apparently, not much is being left out. Whatever is being debated usually just ends up getting added here. The Senate version now apparently more than $900 billion, getting close to $1 trillion. But there's a growing concern among the public and apparently among senators that the current version is not going to be good enough to win the day. What do you make of this package the more we learn about it? Some are obviously concerned about what they consider provisions that may not stimulate much, and others say it's just too much spending.
Absolutely. I think it's a combination of both those factors. There's no doubt that public support now is down to 37% for this bill. Passage does not look likely in the Senate. I thought the line of the day was Republican Senator Kit Bond talking about how many targets there were for cutting things out of this bill. Said he felt like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I think that captures the sentiment on Capitol Hill and really the mandate and momentum that Republican senators now have in trying to consolidate and shave billions off of this bill. I think by the time there's any real chance of passage, you'll see $200 to $250 billion shaved off of this bill that the Republicans will take as a mandate with their constituents back home.
What do you sense is the mood on Wall Street about what ought to be in this thing, whether it's encouraging investment or spurring small or even moderate to large-sized businesses to add more jobs and expand their operations? What do they think will actually stimulate that?
Right. Well, there are some hard, cold facts out there that indicate that the most likely thing to stimulate an economic recovery and certainly spending, you know, you talk about the multiplier effect by a White House chief economist's own measures, tax cuts have a 3-to-1 multiplier effect. So in other words, every dollar the government is spending, or rather cutting taxes, you'll see a threefold consequence of that in the circulation in the economy. So that's creating jobs. That's allowing businesses to grow profits and individuals to keep more of what they earn. On the other hand, the spending portion of the bill, I think, is overstated. And in talking about the multiplier effect, what some economists don't consider that the Congressional Budget Office did when it came out with its report 2 weeks ago is that the time lag of spending takes much longer to hit the economy than the psychological effect of long, deep tax cuts on the ability to loosen consumers' wallets and get the money back flowing into the economy. I think that's something that you can budget off of, something you can plan on if you know taxes are going to be at a certain rate, whether we're talking about payroll taxes, cap gains and dividend taxes, or lowering the corporate rate. It's something that will be factored in and immediately take hold in the economy as opposed to spending, which could, by some estimates, including the CBO's, take up to 2 years to institute 75% of its plan. So this is something they're going to have to consider, and something that Senate Republicans have certainly been talking a lot about over the past couple of days.
And Jack, it seems as though the public is warming up to the approach you just described as well. President Obama is apparently trying to stake some middle ground here. He says he's willing to help Republicans and Democrats trim some of the fat out of this package. At the same time, he says he doesn't want to just focus mainly on tax cuts because he says those are the policies that helped to get us into this mess. How would you analyze his assessment of what put us where we are?
Right. I think, again, you're seeing a President Obama that's beholden to some of his more outlandish campaign rhetoric. And going back to that now, we've heard some of that today in the comment you just mentioned. I think another thing that should be concerning taxpayers is that when you look at a provision in the bill, like the Buy American provision, is something that is dividing Congress right now, and something that, again, you've seen President Obama go right down the middle on, and send a mixed message to our international trade partners. He'll be visiting Canada in just 2 weeks' time, and I think at that point he ought to have some real answers for our most significant trade partner on where he stands for free trade. The Buy American provision would include only stimulating companies producing manufactured goods that are based in the U.S., sends an awful signal to our trade partners. So I think there are some hard decisions yet to be made and some tough rhetoric that will have to be backed up by Obama in the coming days.
Last 30 seconds, Republicans saying a major focus ought to be fixing the housing crisis with a fixed rate backed up by the government. Real quickly, good idea or bad idea as part of this plan?
I actually think this is a bad idea. I think you're seeing the market take care of that already. The Fed is buying long-term treasuries in an effort to lower the 30-year fixed mortgage rate, and they've been successful to a certain extent doing so thus far with rates hovering around an all-time low of 5%. So I don't think they'll have to go to this measure of what effectively is price controls and limiting it to a 4% ceiling.
Jack, unfortunately, our time is up. Thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Jack Age, Associate Editor at Forbes Magazine. This is Dateline Washington.